There's lots of misconceptions, I think, about Alpha when I talk to people, as though what we're trying to do is to convert people. Now, of course, we're thrilled if people find faith. That is what we'd really pray to happen. But actually, what it is a chance for people to explore the Christian faith, for people to understand about the Christian faith. And I always start Alpha courses by saying to all the guests, we haven't got all the answers. Never trust anybody who says they've got all the answers. Only trust people who'll explore the questions with you. And that's what we do on Alpha. We explore the questions with people. We don't tell them we've got all the answers, because not one of us understands God totally, completely. There's things go on in life we can't explain and we don't explain because we're not God. And I think people often feel that we're going to overwhelm them with trying to convert them. And actually, I love it when we get atheists who come and say, I don't believe what you're saying because of this. And we get into a discussion and other people get involved in the discussion. And it's really, really healthy. So if you're going to invite people, and I hope you are, please explain that to them if they're a bit worried. You know, I don't want to come and have a Bible basher thump me over the head with all this stuff. We're exploring the questions. Over the 10 weeks, we look at different things. The first week is there more to life than this? A very open week. You know, what's life about? What do you think as a guest? What's life about? Is there more to life than just what we're going through now? And then we get into who was Jesus? Why did Jesus die? And so on. Different topic each week. And we watch a film and we discuss what's in the film. And you get some really good discussions. It's very, very stimulating. In this church, I did some research before. I went through the membership list and I reckon 25% of the membership of this church have been influenced by Alpha. They either came to faith through Alpha, or they had their faith strengthened and renewed through Alpha. It's had quite an effect. And you might wonder, why haven't we run one for over 5 years? And the reason we haven't run one for over 5 years is we didn't get many guests coming because people weren't being invitational. We used to hire Tanskys, which wasn't cheap. And in the end, we just fell for two or three guests. It really wasn't wise use of church's money, church's resources. So we stopped running it because it didn't seem good value for money. The people who came were always blessed. Well, not always, that's too sweeping. Many people who came were blessed by Alpha, even in small numbers. But we just felt it's not a wise stewardship of resources. But now we've got this wonderful lounge out in the front there, and we don't have to pay for it. So we're going to run Alpha here, and we'll run it for two or three people. Because it's not an unwise use of resources. This is our property. So please use these. The reason we stopped running Alpha was there weren't enough guests. Alpha is a fantastic vehicle to point people towards Jesus. But we need people to come to be pointed towards Jesus. So please be thinking about who you might be able to invite. The Bible passage we're going to look at is a reminder of something we looked at last year about being an Andrew. And of course, you remember everything about that series of sermons, don't you? Everybody always remembers every sermon they've ever heard. So anyway, I thought it would be good to just look at it again. Remind ourselves, what do we mean by being an Andrew? Who was Andrew? Why should we be an Andrew? The passage is in John's Gospel, and it's John chapter 1 and verses 35 to 42. And it starts with John the Baptist. When it refers to John, it's John the Baptist. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you'll see." So they went, saw where he was staying, and and spent that day with him. It was about 4 PM. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We found the Messiah, that is the Christ," and he brought him to Jesus. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist initially, and then John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, basically, "This is the Messiah." So Andrew follows Jesus, and when he's followed Jesus, what does he do next? He goes to tell somebody, "I found Jesus, I found the Messiah." And he not only tells his brother, we're told in the passage, he brings him to Jesus. He tells him and he brings him. And that, I think, if you want to invite non-Christian friends to church or to Alpha, you have to bring them usually, not just invite them. People will find 100 reasons not to come if you just say, "Come and see," which is what Jesus said to Andrew. "Come and see." And what Andrew said to Peter, "Come and see." It's such a lovely, open, warm invitation, that, isn't it, to say to people, not get into intellectual debates about faith. Come and see. Alpha leaflet, "Come and see." But like Andrew did, don't just say "come and see," but actually bring them along. You might not have to stay. You might not have to stay more than 1 week or even 2 weeks. We've had people come and stay for a week or 2 weeks when they've brought a guest. It gets to the point where they're comfortable and they don't need you to come. But bring them along when you invite them. Bring them along. Be an Andrew. What Andrew did with Peter, it was typical of what he did. There are other bits in John's Gospel. In John chapter 6, we know the story of the feeding of the 5,000, but did you know they roll Andrew parade in it? Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" He brought the boy to Jesus. Without Andrew bringing that boy with his loaves and fishes to Jesus, we wouldn't have the miracle of the 5,000. Without Andrew taking Peter to see Jesus, we might not have had Pentecost. 3,000 people came to faith at Pentecost. Andrew just did this. There's other examples as well. He brought some Greeks who were in Jerusalem for a feast to Jesus. Seemed to be what he did. He brought people to Jesus. "Come and see. We found the Messiah. We found the real deal. Come and see." That's all we know about Andrew. He's not mentioned much beyond those examples. He seems an otherwise unremarkable man. And yet, without him, we wouldn't have Pentecost. Well, you've had Pentecost, you might not have had 3,000 converts, because that was Peter's role. Without him, there wouldn't have been loaves and fishes for the miracle. He brought the boy to Jesus. Now, we can't all be remarkable like Peter. We can't all preach to people and have 3,000 converts. We can't all do the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 like Jesus. But we can all play the role that Andrew played. We can say to people, "Come and see. Come and see. We found the real deal. Come and see." Last year, when we were looking at Pete Gregg's wonderful book, Dirty Glory, there was an example in it. And because it's a year ago, I hope you've forgotten, because otherwise it's boring if you repeat the same stories, isn't it? But in that book, he tells the story of a man who worked on a farm who was a Christian. And this farm was 5 or 10 miles out of town. And then one weekend, there was an evangelistic mission in the town. So he invited all his friends who weren't believers from the farm to go to this mission. And most of them came. And it was over 3 nights. So the second night, he invited the people who hadn't come, and some more came. But there was one man who kept saying he wasn't interested. So on the third night, he said, I know this guy's really interested in cars and driving. He was only 17, but he loved cars and driving. So he said to this young man, if I let you drive my truck into town, would you go? And he said, yes. Yes, I would. And he went to the rally, and he came to faith. This 17-year-old who only came because he was allowed to drive the truck. That 17-year-old was Billy Graham. Now, most people of a certain age would have heard of Billy Graham. Maybe under a certain age they wouldn't. But Billy Graham had a worldwide ministry and reached millions and millions of people. Everybody knows Billy Graham, but nobody knows this guy who lent him the truck. Pete Gregg does, because he mentions him in the book, obviously. So it's not that he's unknown, but he hasn't got that reputation worldwide, because all he did was invite. All he did was try and encourage people, come and see. And through that ministry, Billy Graham came to faith. We can't all be Billy Graham, but we can all say, come and see. Alpha is going to start on the 21st of April, so we've got plenty of time to be thinking about who we might invite. And I think you have to be intentional about it. You have to want to do it. It's not going to happen. People aren't just going to come across your path unless God's doing something unusual. It has to be intentional. We have to want to and look for opportunities to invite people, to say, come and see. We have to think about who do we know, who might we want to, pray about it. There's a small team who will be running the Alpha course. But actually, it won't work unless the whole church is behind it. The whole church needs to support Alpha to get people to come. But you know, even if everybody brought somebody and we had an absolutely packed Alpha, nothing of any great eternal spiritual value would happen if it's not supported in prayer. That's where the church really needs to support Alpha. Individually, corporately, in prayer. And I'm back to Pete Gregg's book, which I do think is a wonderful, Dirty Glory, if you've never read it, Dirty Glory by Pete Gregg. It's a wonderful book on prayer. And one of the main point he makes amongst many good points is that prayer isn't about asking for things. I want people to pray for Alpha. I want people to pray that God will bless Alpha. I want to pray for Alpha and pray that God will bless Alpha. But what Pete Gregg said is prayer fundamentally isn't about asking for things. It's about a relationship with God. It's about getting closer to God. He said, don't look down, look up. Don't look down at the things you're dealing with, the problems you've got, the issues you might want God to get involved in. Look up. Look up to the God who can sort those things out. Have a relationship, a closer relationship with the God who can sort those things out. And then when you've got that closer relationship with God, you naturally pray about things that God puts on your heart. And I'm absolutely certain God would put on all of our hearts reaching people who don't know him. Alpha's only a tool. It's not the only way to do it, but it's a very effective tool. And it's been blessed greatly in this church. How do we do that? We're just normal, human, frail people who are busy. How do we get a closer relationship with God? How do we do what Pete Gregg says? How do we look up and get a closer relationship with God? It's not easy, is it? Because stuff gets in the way. Life gets in the way. And we're not hermits and we're not monks. We're people with ordinary lives and strengths and weaknesses. How do we get that closeness to God? And I'm reminded of a passage in Revelation. I preached on this passage a number of years ago, and these two verses stayed with me from Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. This is a letter from Jesus to the church at Ephesus. John, in a vision, has seen Jesus, and Jesus tells him to take letters to different churches, and this is to the church at Ephesus. Jesus has already commended the church for doing some good stuff. It's like an end-of-term report, this. Always worries me, what would we get? If we got an end-of-term report from Jesus as a church, what would that letter say? Anyway, this is the end-of-term report for Ephesus. They've been commended for doing some good stuff, and then we read this. Yet I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I'll come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. You've lost your first love. Do the things you did at first. How do we lose a first love? I mean, if you look at it on a relationship level, on a human level, one of the first things, I think, when relationships start to lose that first love is when you take each other for granted. You just assume the other person will always be there. They're just always around. You stop seeing them perhaps as the real person they are, and they're just always there. They become part of the furniture. They're like the wallpaper, just part of the background. And we can do that with God. We can get excited about God for particular things, and then eventually God just becomes part of the wallpaper. We just take God for granted. God's just always there in the background. And we lose the joy and the excitement. I mean, I don't know about you, but I can remember times in my Christian life when I've been full of joy and excitement about what God's doing. And there's other times when it's sort of, yeah. You know, it's just background. He's there. I'm not interacting with him particularly, but he's there. That's okay. And what God, Jesus, was saying to this church at Ephesus, he commended them for lots of things that they were doing well. But you've lost your first love. And I'm sure there's lots of things as a church that we do well. But how much better would we do them if somehow we could rekindle that first love? How do you do that? How do you rekindle that first love? Well, again, on a human level, you'd probably be counseled, wouldn't you, in a relationship, that if you've lost that spark, that love, what you need to do is to make time for each other. You need to spend more time with each other, talk and listen to each other more. Do nice things for each other. When it's not a birthday or an anniversary, just do something nice. Just the same on a spiritual level with God. How do we try and rekindle that relationship with God? We make time for God. We talk to God more, we listen to God more, and we do that, don't we, through prayer, through quiet times, through meditation, through reading the Bible. God speaks to us through these different ways. The principles are the same in a spiritual relationship with God as they are in a human relationship. We make time. And whether it's human or spiritual, in both of those examples, the bottom line really is, do you want to? Do you want to? If you had a relationship that had gone stale, you're not going to do these things unless you actually want to. That's the starting point, isn't it? Do I want to? Do I want to make more time for this person? Do I want to listen and talk more with this person? And it might be at different times of our Christian life, we're in a place where we don't want to. Okay, people might say, I hear what you say. If I want to rekindle my relationship with God, I need to spend more time with him. I need to have more quiet times. I need to pray more. I need to do this. I need to do that. But actually, the starting point is, do you want to? Because if you don't want to, it's not really going to work, is it? It wouldn't work on a human level. It won't work on a spiritual level. You have to have the thirst and the hunger to want to. to be able to do it. And what I'd like to say to people about Alpha, over the many years I've been involved and I've seen dozens of courses, it's just as effective for rekindling the spark in Christians as it is for non-Christians. If you're somebody who feels, I want to have a closer relationship with God, well, you'll do that. You can do that. But if you're at the point where you say, you know what, I can't be bothered. Yeah, can't be bothered. Can I recommend you do Alpha? Because Alpha not just helps people who've got no faith, it's a wonderful boost. It refreshes. I've seen people's lives change. I've seen people who are Christians in this church in the past, and their lives have changed through Alpha. So although it's predominantly for people who don't know Jesus, and that's the prime aim of it, so often I've seen Christians' lives enriched, revitalized through Alpha. And it might well be that for the first time or two on Alpha, we're going to get a lot of Christians, and I think that's okay. Because if we get Christians who come and their faith is rekindled, that will then give us the passion that we need to reach people who haven't heard the good news. Maybe we've got to refresh ourselves to some extent, to rekindle, to get that passion back. Because when we get the passion back and love God, and as Pete Gregg says, we look up and not down, when that relationship is right, it overflows naturally. We want to tell people. It doesn't become a chore. It doesn't become, I need to do this. You just want to tell people because you're reinvigorated. So please ask people to come and see. Go to people who haven't got faith or people who you know maybe used to have faith but don't come to church anymore. Come and see. Come and have your faith reinvigorated. If you don't know Jesus, come and talk about what Christians think about Jesus, about who he is, why he died, why he came to earth. That message to the church at Ephesus was that being busy and doing lots of good things, because they did, it's not enough. It's not enough for us either. It's not enough for us to be busy and to do lots of good things. And just putting on an Alpha course and bringing people to it by itself is not enough. What we need is to find the joy and the excitement again of our relationship with God. And out of that will overflow things that will happen on Alpha and in other ways that will be of eternal value. Just working hard, just running courses is not what it's about. The whole church needs to come behind Alpha in prayer. And I pray that that's what will happen. And if it does, I think we can see God do amazing things around here. He's done amazing things around the world with Alpha. And he's done some amazing things just in this church over the last 20 years through Alpha. And let's just pray that that continues. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just do pray that your hand will be on this Alpha course. But Lord, we're mindful that what we want more than anything is that for each one of us here this morning, our relationship with you is strengthened. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to look up and not down. And then as we look up, Lord, you'll inspire us to do the things that you want us to do. May we be obedient. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.